I titled my sermon, Shaking Off the Snakes. If you were here Wednesday, we were reading in the book of Acts about Paul's shipwreck. And so when I started looking at what I thought the Lord had for us this morning, well, I thought this was appropriate. So for those of you who might have been here Wednesday, this is a continuation. You know, there's a story about one time a rabbit and a snake met in the forest. And the rabbit said, you know, we don't know what each other looks like, and I don't really know what I am. So if you'll describe to me what I look like, I'll describe to you what you look like, and maybe between the two of us, we can figure out what we are. The snake said, that's a really good idea. He said, well, you've got a pink nose, long ears, a fluffy little tail. And the rabbit said, oh, yeah, that's great. I know this, and I'm a rabbit. And the snake said, all right, now you describe me. And the rabbit said, well, you have a forked tongue, you got shifty eyes, and there are diamonds all over you. The snake said, oh, no, I'm a televangelist. Okay, we won't pick on televangelists anymore. Not that sometimes they don't deserve it. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 28. And on Wednesday nights, gosh, we've been doing this for well over a year. What, about a year and a half now? We've been going through the Bible kind of chronologically, and we've made our way up almost to the end of the book of Acts now. And in Acts 28, Paul was being taken to Rome as a prisoner to face trial. And so he was a prisoner on a ship. The ship got caught in a storm. God had sent an angel to Paul and assured Paul that everything would be okay. Sure enough, the ship ran aground. It broke apart. And everybody jumped off the ship. They swam toward shore. And everybody made it to the island of Malta alive. So here they are. They're on the island. They're soaked by rain, probably chilled by the wind because it was late in the year. And the weather was probably cooling down by then. And they decided they needed a fire. And I don't blame them. I'd want a fire too if I was wet and cold. And so everybody sits down, they get a fire going, and Apostle Paul, he doesn't get to sit there very long, and all of a sudden he reaches over to grab a log, throw it onto the fire, and what happens? So a snake jumped out and bit him on the arm. But I don't know, have you ever noticed that when things start heating up in your life, you know, and it may be, it may be that you've got a lot of things going on at work. Maybe there's a lot of problems there. Maybe it's just, you know, not going well. Or maybe you don't feel well. Or maybe everything is breaking all at the same time. But, we have all these things that come up and they cause stress in our life. They really shouldn't. But we allow them to cause stress in our life. So many things, and I'm right there with you, right? A few weeks ago when we had all of our plumbing problems and water pouring out of the ceiling, I was about stressed to the max. So, and I shouldn't be, right? Because we got the water flow stopped. We don't have the plumbing fixed, but at least we got the leak stopped. And we have the holes in the ceiling where you can examine the plumbing, keep an eye on it, make sure it's in good shape. But, you know, a lot of stress, right? And so things cause stress. And sometimes, you know, maybe at work, things can get very, very stressful. Or maybe at school, things can get stressful, right? You got a big test coming up and you're not real confident about it. So what do? We get stressed. The end of the month's coming up and the checkbook's running out before the end of the month. We get stressed. We get stressed about all kinds of things. And maybe sometimes too, we get run down in our body. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're exhausted. Maybe we're not getting the type of sleep we should be getting. Or maybe we're pushing too hard and we're approaching this thing called burnout just from going too much. Or maybe we just get that head cold and we feel lousy. Or in my case, you know, it's the backache. And you feel lousy and you start to get grumpy because you don't feel good. And all these things come together. Have you noticed that's when the devil likes to jump in, right? He hides off in the woodpile until you kind of get to a place where you're weakened by other things going on in your life. And then when you have these other things, when you're not at your top physical, emotional, or spiritual state, that's when the enemy's gonna jump out. So here's Paul. He's arrested. He's a prisoner. He's on a ship in a terrible storm. The ship's being beat apart. Finally, the ship runs aground. It's busted up into little pieces. Everybody jumps out and tries to find a plank to hold on to, swim towards shore. The guards are wanting to kill all the prisoners because they don't want them to escape. Now they're cold, they're wet, they're tired, they're hungry. They've lost everything. All they have is the clothes on their back. Nothing else. They're on an island and they don't even know where they're at, have no clue. And all they know is they're glad to be on dry land. Can you imagine there was a little bit of stress, even for somebody like the Apostle Paul at that point? I would be at my maximum stress level if it was me. And so when does the snake jump out to bite? When you're at that low point in your life. I think most of us have a healthy and natural reaction when we see a snake. And I know some people, they really like snakes. I don't like snakes. I tolerate snakes. If it's not a poisonous snake, I will not kill it. That's one of my rules because they eat the mice, and so I'm happy that they do that. I just prefer they do it invisibly and I never see them because I do not like seeing snakes. Yeah, I don't react really, really well at all. And I told one of my snake stories on Wednesday, so I won't tell that one. You know, it's my best snake story. You just should have been here. But another really funny snake story is years ago, I was playing golf, and our youngest son, Vince, was with us. You know, he had hit his ball off into the weeds, probably, following my example. And so he goes over, and he's standing in grass about so tall. Because he's out in the weeds, and he goes over, and he's getting ready, and he comes back. All of a sudden, it's and I lost my. That's my best imitation, and at the same time he started screaming a little bit. We're looking at him thinking, what in the world was that? And then he goes, snake, snake, snake. That's my normal reaction to snakes. Then I said, what kind of snake was it? He said, I don't know. It was a snake. Yeah, it was a snake. And so forever after that, we named that particular hole on that golf course. We called it the snake hole. So we have a fear of snakes, or most of us do. I have a healthy fear of snakes, and I don't like to see snakes. And it's no wonder that when Satan came in the Garden of Eden, he came in the form of a serpent, right? I mean, I think maybe that's the reason I think snakes are evil. I just have this inherent thing that goes in me all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And when I see a snake, it reminds me of the old devil, maybe. Satan comes, he attacks when we're least prepared for it. But you know, God's made a promise to us, Isaiah 43:2. I like this one. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you. Isn't that a great promise to hold on to right there? God says we may go through some difficult times. We may go through some tough times. We may be like Bailey and literally be snake bit. May be like my brother and may be dealing with, you know, the wondering if the cure is worse than the disease. We go through these problems, but I think we can hold on to the promise that God said, it doesn't matter if you're going through a difficult time because I'm going to bring you through. Now, I will tell you, the whole time we're going through the difficult time, the enemy is whispering in our ear going, this is it, this is it, this is the end. You might as well give up. You might as well just call it quits. You might as well throw it in because you're about to die. That's what the enemy says to me. The enemy says, it's all going to fall apart. It's just going to be horrible. It's going to be terrible. And we start listening to the lies of the enemy. We see the fire all around us. We need to hold on to God's promise. You know, I wonder if Apostle Paul thought about this verse while he was sitting there and had that snake latched onto his arm. I'm sure Paul knew this verse. I'm sure with everything he had been through, he was really good at hanging on to the promises of God. And so maybe he thought about that. You know, when you go through the deep waters, when you go through the river of difficulty, when you walk through the fire of oppression, and when the snake jumps out and bites, don't be afraid, because I will bring you through. So what did Paul do when he was attacked? Did he call it quits? Did he say, okay, that's enough? You know, I've done everything I can, and yet, you know, I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been beaten. I've been arrested. I've been thrown in jail. And now I've been shipwrecked. I've been barely saved out of the ocean. I'm stranded on an island, and now I'm snake bit. I just quit. I quit. I give up. I mean, sometimes that's the place we get to. We're ready to give up. But did Paul quit? No, he didn't quit. Did he get mad at God? No, he doesn't get mad at God. So what did Paul do? Did he blame himself and say, you know, well, if I just wouldn't have, you know, if I wouldn't have preached the gospel so strong, if I wouldn't have pressed the issue so much, none of this would have happened. I probably brought this on myself because, you know, of what I was doing. No, he doesn't do that. What did he do? He shook it off. He just shook it off like it was nothing. And I think that's good advice to us when the enemy comes. We need to learn to shake him off. When he jumps out, when he attacks, when he comes, when he's trying to bring us down, we need to shake him off. Let's look here in Acts 28, verse 3. It says, Paul gathered an armful of sticks, was laying them on the fire, when a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. Anybody ever asked a question, why me, God? Yeah, there's a famous song from back in the 70s, why me? But I think we all know our own version of that song. Why me, God? Why not somebody else? God, I was doing what you told me to do. God, I was trying to be faithful. God, I was trying to do everything that I thought was right. And so why me, God? Why do I have to be the one that suffers all the time? God, why do I have to be the one that goes through the trials? Why do I have to be the one that endures the pain? Why do I have to be the one to put up with this? Of course, you know, the funny thing is we all say that thinking everybody else sometimes is not going through the same types of things. But Paul was doing a good thing. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't doing anything evil. He wasn't doing anything against God. In fact, he was doing exactly what he needed to be doing. He was exactly in the place that God wanted him to be at that time. And that's when the snakes attack, is when we are in the will of God. I mean, Satan doesn't have to come after us when we're out of the will of God, but when we're in the will of God, he wants to come and get us out of the will of God. So when you ask that question, why me, God? A lot of times the answer might be because God says, because you're in my will, and that's when Satan comes. Well, Paul could have allowed the snake to discourage him, make him doubt, make him throw in the towel, make him call it quits. But I think instead he remembered God's promises. And he shook off the snake, gave it the brush off, and he just continued. And he did what God had called him to do. So when discouragement comes your way, when you're tempted to give it all up, call it quits, look back on God's promises. We need to know God's promises for us. Amen? This is a good verse right here, Isaiah 43:2. I know a lot of people, you know, they have something, you know, a sign, a banner, something. That's a good one to put on a sign, put on a banner, put it by your front door so you see it when you walk out of the house every day. Amen? We need to be reminded of these things. We need to find some scripture that we can hold on to because we're going to go through tough times. And we're going to have these opportunities to brush off the old snake when he comes after us, but we're not going to do it if we're not prepared. So I want to take just another moment here and look at a couple of the snakes that attack Paul. And I think these are snakes, too, that we deal with in our own life. The first snake that Paul had to deal with was the snake of criticism. Look what happened here in verse 4. The people of the island saw it, the snake, hanging from his hand, and they said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. I guess they believed in karma on that island. And they said, yep, caught up with you. Your past finally caught up with you. Why did something happen? Well, it happened because you must be, you know, you must have done something wrong. You must have done something bad. You know, we take a lot of criticism sometimes. And I tell you what, when you start having problems, don't be surprised if people don't show up criticizing you. I remember a man by the name of Job. Job, he was going through a difficult time. And what did his friends do? His friends came up and said, you know, you must have done something really bad for God to punish you like this. What had Job done? He was in the will of God. But that doesn't stop the critics from coming, because a lot of times the critics don't really care if you're in the will of God or not. All they want to do is beat you down. They see somebody down, they want to beat you while you're down. And that's what happened with Paul. Well, it's obvious this man's no good. It's obvious. Snake wouldn't jump out and attack somebody like that who wasn't a criminal. Well, you're going to be wrongly judged. You're going to be falsely accused anytime you're in the will of God. But remember, you're not the first person to be treated this way. Amen? Paul was treated this way. In fact, if I think back, Jesus was treated that way. I think Jesus said, if they do this to me, they're going to do it to you. If people aren't criticizing you at some point when you're doing the right thing, you're probably not doing the right thing. Amen? You will get criticism when you're in the will of God. Jesus was called a blasphemer. He was accused of performing miracles by the power of Satan. I mean, every accusation you could think, they heaped upon him. They criticized him every way they could. And what did Jesus do? Did he lash back? He shook it off. He didn't care what people said. It didn't stop him. Paul didn't care that they called him a murderer. It wasn't going to stop him. He was going to continue to do what God called him to do. When the snakes of criticism come, and I promise you, it's going to be when, not if. When the snakes of criticism come, what do? Shake it off and keep on moving. You know, sometimes we don't even need to respond. I've got a lot of criticism over the years, some of it in public social media forums. And you know what I do if somebody wants to start criticizing me on social media? I ignore them. I don't respond. I don't say anything. I just wait for them to go away. Because if they're wrong, they're wrong, and I don't have to defend myself against everything. Now, if they attack God, I might respond. Amen. But I don't need to defend myself. I need to defend the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:23 reminds us Jesus did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. When the snakes of criticism come, my advice is leave it in the hands of God, and God will judge it in the end. And if you are right, it'll be made clear. If you're in the wrong, then that'll be made clear also. All right, and the second snake that Paul faced in this situation was the snake of low expectation. Verse 6 in chapter 28, the people waited for him to swell up and suddenly drop dead. So they call him a murderer, call him no good. So he's getting what he deserves. And now they're sitting back getting ready to be entertained by watching him drop over dead. I mean, must not have been much for pass for entertainment on that island, I guess. But they did. They just said, hey, now we're ready for the show. We want to watch him, you know, we want to watch him swell up. We want to watch him foam at the mouth. We want to watch him die. We want to see him fail completely. We want to see him go down. I will tell you, there are a lot of people, they want to see you fail. The world wants to see you fail. Satan wants to see you fail. Sometimes the people that you think are your friends want to see you fail. The snake of low expectations is always around us, just waiting to jump at. I mean, there are people that are always, they're always waiting to see you stumble and fall. But I'll tell you what, if you stumble and fall, get back up and keep on going. Amen? But man, there are people, there are people out there. I guarantee you every one of us has somebody out there, at least one somebody, maybe lots of somebodies. And what they really want more than anything, they want to see you stumble and fall and backslide. And you know why they want to do that? Because then they can feel better about themselves. You know, they look at you and you are a reminder. Amen? You're a reminder of the holiness of God by the way you live your life. And they don't like that. And so they get around you. What do they feel? They feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so if they could see you backslide, then they would say, oh, well, I'm just as good as you are. They are secretly, and sometimes not so secretly, hoping that you will stumble and fall and that you will totally backslide and that you'll give up on God. There are people out there and that would make them nothing happier. There are people of great faith. Faith that you are going to fail. They will trip you if they can. What do we do when we're attacked by the snake of low expectations? Shake it off. Shake it off. And then turn it around and prove them wrong by being faithful to God. I love that's exactly what Paul did. He just shook it off. He didn't argue with them. He didn't carry on. He just let it play out. He just kept sitting there. And it said after a while, they kind of got bored. It's like, how long has it been? He should be dead by now. But he's not dead. And he's not turning blue. And he's not foaming at the mouth. And then they said, he must be a god. Yeah, they flipped the other way. Which I guess would be snake number three, but I don't have time for snake number three this morning. But, you know, there are a lot of snakes that come in a lot of ways. Satan's always looking for an opportunity. And for each of us, it may be different. In fact, it may be different every time. Because Satan, he's going to look for that opening. When he finds the opening, he's going to come in. But I can promise you that sometimes life will get rough. And when life gets rough, you know, there's an old saying, Murphy's Law. Everybody know Murphy's Law? Everything that can go wrong will go wrong at the worst possible time. Yes. Basically, to summarize, the buttered side always falls down. I guarantee you, you're going to have days like that. In fact, you may have weeks. You may even have months like that sometimes. Don't be surprised when you're going through a tough, stressful, difficult time that the snakes start jumping out of the firewood. Because that's when Satan likes to jump out. That's when the snakes like to bite. So what do? We remember God's promises. We need to find God's promises in the Word. And we need to know God's promises. Get up if you need to every day and repeat one of the promises of God. Amen? I'll not leave you nor forsake you. That's a good promise right there. I mean, we got so many good promises to hang on to. We need to get those. And then when we go through those difficult times, when the snakes attack, what do? Jesus said, he'll never leave me or forsake me. Satan, it doesn't matter what you do. Jesus is with me. Oh, no Satan formed by the enemy, right? Oh, yeah, I like that one. Satan, you can build all the arrows and weapons you want, but it's not going to be effective because my God is greater. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I mean, we go down the list of all the wonderful promises in God's word. That's what we need to dwell on. When we start thinking, woe is me, we stop thinking about the promises of God. When we start thinking about the promises of God, we stop thinking about woe is me, and we get back up and we go back to work for God. And I love that's exactly what Paul did, because what happens? Revival broke out and people got saved. Amen. Because he was faithful. There was a price to be paid. I want to tell you, sometimes for revival to break out, sometimes for souls to be saved, sometimes we may be called upon to pay a price to get to that place. But if we're in God's will, God will see us through. John 10:10, I quoted this a minute ago. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Okay? That's usually where I stop most of the time, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I really should finish it out because the second part, the first part is worth mentioning. But if we're only going to mention one part, we ought to mention the second part. But Jesus said, I came to give a rich and satisfying life. Or King James, life abundantly. Amen. There's the promise right there. The promise isn't what the enemy's going to try to do. The promise is that Jesus came to overturn the work of the enemy. Who is the thief? Well, of course, the snake in the grass, Satan. Give him the brush off. You don't have to let him win. You can defeat him through the promises of God.